Welcome to the Tiny Morbid Fantasies podcast with your hosts, Andrea and Sophia.
This is a podcast of short stories based on our everyday tiny morbid thoughts.
Thanks for joining us for episode 7.
And if it's your first time, welcome. And if you're a returning listener, welcome back.
Tiny Morbid Fantasies is now available on Spotify, iTunes, Podbean, and everywhere else you listen to podcasts.
All right, so on today's episode, we are going to do... Oh, we have to do wine time first. Oh, at the beginning, you did both wines.
I did do both wines. So, at this point, we already drank all of the Witching Hour Red Blend that I got us.
Same night recording.
Yeah. So, now we're on to the Valenzano Harmony for Andrea, which is a local wine to our area.
And it's delicious.
It really is. Valenzano is just solid, really.
You can't go wrong, and it's... I liked your last wine, but this goes down much smoother.
That's why I wanted to drink that one first, so that we,
you can finish off with this one.
End on a good note.
Fuck, that's good. Okay.
It's like juice.
It is. It's dangerous. It's like grape juice.
Yeah.
I mean, technically it is, but you know what I mean.
It's good no-no juice.
That makes it sound so dirty.
It's a Community reference.
Oh, because I instantly imagined Michael Jackson.
No, that's Donald Glover, straight up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, some Don Glover. So, Andrea's up next with a story that we've lovingly called Apoth, but would you like to tell them the title?
Yes, yeah, so this story is titled A Plague on This House. It is a full short story, but it's actually a... What's it called? It's not like a... The beginning of the book. It's like not a bridge, but the fuck. Like an epilogue.
Oh, okay.
So it's more like an epilogue to a bigger story that I have imagined, but I haven't written out because
why don't we just
writer blocks and things.
Yeah, but we could call it a saga.
I feel like saga's not the right word. Like saga makes me think of, I don't know. We'll figure it out. But it is definitely part of a larger story which has a lot of history. That I have figured out and planned out, and there's like word maps and everything, but I haven't written the stories.
So is it like a continuation like The Long Drive Home was, or is it its own contained story?
It's a standalone story on its own.
Okay.
But there's more history and backstory to it.
Ooh,
that we can get into.
It sounds lush.
There's lore and there's reasons for why certain things happen, which
I like it.
You'll see. So, this story, I've worked on it for a while, and I keep tweaking it, and I feel like no matter how many times you edit something, you will always find something, and I keep changing things, and it's just, I like it where it is.
I think this is, of all the stories that we've told back and forth, this is the one story that I know a little bit about, but from that time, I know that you've worked on it a lot, so I'm really excited to see where you've taken it.
Yeah, some of the things we talked about for the story was actually part of just the lore, why certain things happen. I'm going to read the story so we don't have to be vague about it.
Okay, let's get into it.
It feels weird because now it's going to be gone. Well, it'll still be there.
Well, you'll write another epic one. It's okay.
It's not even that good. But anyway, I fucking like it. Night one. Huh, that's weird. You ever feel like there's something stuck in your teeth? But no matter how many times you pick at it, you just can't get it? I think I can free it with my tongue, but it just won't budge. I bet it's popcorn. Wait, when was the last time I had some popcorn? This is gonna drive me nuts. Do we have any toothpicks? Julie leaps out of bed and rushes into the bathroom. After searching through a drawer full of countless hair ties, she notices a small plastic bag of toothpicks. She gets as close to the mirror as possible, mouth opened wide, her breath fogging the glass. Blindly, Julie picks at the spot where her tongue was hitting. It's in the far back at the bottom. The annoying mystery food is finally wiggling loose. Gotcha. She inspects what appears to be a dark brown seed. Feeling a wave of relief, she triumphantly flicks it into the sink. Then with a cupped hand, she takes a few sips of water to gargle before heading back to lay down. How'd it go? Keith inquired sleepily. Great. Now I can sleep. Julie kissed her husband goodnight and pulled the blanket up around her neck. In an instant, she was asleep. Julie woke with a start. When her eyes opened, she was sitting upright in bed, her breathing labored. It took her a moment to fully comprehend being awake, since she didn't remember falling asleep. The room was still dark, so it couldn't have been too long. She looked to her husband, who could sleep through anything. Placing her hand on his chest, it slowly rises, then falls. Julie slipped out of bed and went to the kitchen for a glass of water. When she returned, cup in hand, she placed it on her nightstand. That's when she noticed something on the sheets. Lifting the blanket to get a better view, she spotted what looked like dirt. It's as if someone wiped their dirty feet on her bed after a long walk. She sat on the edge of the bed and looked at the bottom of her feet. They were covered in dirt as if she was walking around outside. Panicked, she shook her husband awake. "Get up, something's wrong." Keith woke up in a panic. "What's happening? Are you bleeding? Are you hurt?" All Julie could manage to say was, "My feet, they're dirty." Keith went from worried to confused and a little angry. "What?" Julie tried to compose herself. "I'm sorry, I'm freaking out because I just woke up. My feet are dirty and there's dirt in the sheets." He reaches over and grabs her hand. "You've been under a lot of stress lately. Sounds like you might have just been sleepwalking somewhere." It doesn't explain where she went, but she starts to feel tired again. She decides to worry about it in the morning. Feeling somewhat relieved, she takes a drink of water. "Damn it, not again. There's something in my teeth." "Well, at least you know what to do this time," Keith replied. "Go take care of it, then come back to bed. It's too early to be up on the weekend." He pulled the covers over his head. Once again, Julie went into the bathroom, grabbed the toothpicks, and opened wide while her face was almost pressed against the mirror. This time, whatever it was seemed much larger and was actually starting to hurt. She began to pick and pry at it. After a 5-minute struggle, plus a few bleeding gums, she pulled out something about the width of her tooth, but it was flat. She rinsed off the blood to give it a closer look. It looked like some sort of wood. This time she placed it on a paper towel and put it next to the sink. She returned to bed where Keith was already fast asleep. She resolved to tell him about it in the morning. When she awoke the next morning, she felt unrested. Keith, already awake, had made coffee. The sweet scent danced its way into the bedroom. She hopped out of bed and went straight to the bathroom. The piece of wood is still there. She brought it into the kitchen to show Keith. "I figured out what you were up to last night," Keith said as she entered the kitchen. "How did you manage that?" "Well," Keith walked over to the kitchen window and pointed out to the backyard. There, in the middle of the yard, was a hole around the size of a small campfire and about a half a foot deep. "What the? Why would I?" Keith interrupted her confused stammering. "Don't worry about it. I'll fill it in later." Keith looked down and saw the paper towel in her hands. "What's that about?" "Oh, it's a thing for my teeth. I have no clue what this is." "Well, it has to be something you ate. Also, why would you keep it?" Keith left with coffee in hand, giving Julie a kiss on the cheek on his way by. She balled up the paper towel and threw it away. Night 3. "Julie, come to bed," Keith shouted from the bedroom. In a minute, Julie was in the bathroom, hunched over the sink. She began brushing her teeth vigorously. She rinsed and opened her mouth to check. There it was. Her entire back tooth was now covered in an unusual dark coating. It grew so fast. She left it alone only for 2 days, and now the whole tooth is covered in it, whatever it is. After a second brushing, nothing has changed. She gives up and goes to bed. "Are you worried about your tooth again?" Keith asked as Julie climbed into bed, looking defeated. "I simply don't understand what could be happening. I made an appointment for the dentist, but now we have to wait a week. What if it gets worse?" "Okay, stay calm. If it gets too bad, we can go to the emergency room, okay?" Julie laid down. "I can handle it. I just want it to be over with." "Me too. I want you to feel better. Let's try to get some sleep." Julie, for the second time this week, woke with a start. There was something cold and wet underneath her. Once her eyes adjusted, she looked around confused. To her side was a shovel by a small hole. When she stood up and turned around, she saw her house. She had sleepwalked again, but this was the first time she'd woken up outside. She staggered back inside into the bathroom. Once there, she rinsed herself off. Then she collapsed back in bed and was asleep in moments. When the morning alarm rang, she had that groggy feeling again. It was as if she didn't really rest. After moments of convincing herself to get out of bed, she made her way to the kitchen. Keith was making his morning coffee to go, as he was about to head out for work. "Hey, hun, how'd you sleep?" he asked. "I don't really know. I feel like I didn't sleep at all." "Hmm. Could be because in your sleepwalk state, you dug another hole." Keith gestured towards the backyard. "It's okay, but maybe we'll start strapping you down at night," Keith chuckled. He winked and gave her a kiss on his way out. "Don't worry about it. I'll fill in this hole later, too. Get ready for work." Julie makes herself some coffee with a side of toast. While eating, she stares out the window at the hole. "Why would I do this?" she thinks. As she's chewing her toast, something solid crunches between her teeth. Immediately, she spits it into the sink. While inspecting the moist wad of bread, she finds the solid object at the center. It was a twig. She convinced herself it must have been in her mouth from the night walking. She threw it away and began to get ready for work. Night 5. Julie was on her side as she leaned over the edge of the bed. She started gasping for air. Her mouth was full of dirt. It began to melt as her saliva mixed with it, converting it to mud. She fell onto the floor on all fours, heaving and shaking, as the black sludge trickled into a puddle. When the shivering ended, she wandered into the backyard. There she found the shovel. Dragging her feet, she walked to the usual spot, where the dirt is still soft, and started digging. It had reached 3 a.m. She had been digging for hours. The hole was about 4 feet deep at this point, and Julie was inside the hole tossing dirt out. Suddenly, the sky opened in what could only be described as a flash flood. Julie got on her knees and grabbed fistfuls of mud. Hungrily, she shoved them into her mouth. After 3 handfuls, she stopped and opened her mouth skyward. The heavy rainfall quickly filled it, sending streaks of mud down her neck. The hole she was kneeling in abruptly started to fill with water. Julie was now buried up to her chest. Vine-like roots sprouted from her mouth. They wrapped around her head like a gag. Then they made their way around her nose, followed by her eyes. Only small patches of flesh from her cheeks and forehead could be seen. Julie woke with a start. She couldn't breathe or see. Immediately she panicked. She could feel her body trapped in mud, plus the water was rising. Struggling, she was able to get one arm free. Her nails helplessly clawed at the roots that were encasing her head. Blood began dripping from between the roots as her nails frantically trying to get a grip, scraped against what little skin was left showing. The roots began to slither down her neck, grasping her throat. After a few minutes of fighting, Julie lost consciousness. As the rain continued to fall, the walls of the hole caved in. The only thing left showing was a tree sapling, at this point about 4 feet tall and growing. The roots began to thicken, the branches spread wide, and leaves began to bloom. There, in the middle of the yard, sat a single oak tree, at least 20 feet tall. The rain slowed as the sun began to rise. There was no sign of Julie left behind.
Night soil.
The end. Night soil.
Dude.
So that's the start of Julie's story. But also, tiny morbid fact, it takes approximately 3 hours to dig a hole about 4 feet deep. If you're like an average body strength.
And breaks.
But also she pre-softened the soil, so it was easier to dig.
But not only that, I like that you changed her consciousness from being sleepwalking to her actually digging it. So now she's conscious of the digging.
Up until that point, you only, like night 1 and night 3, she woke up with a start and was like the aftermath of like the dirt and waking up outside. And then night 5, it started off showing you what she was doing, and then she woke up. So you kind of got to see, like, got to see what she was doing. She wasn't conscious.
Yeah.
She woke with a start as she was.
Yeah, as she was, like,
already
in the middle
on her
of doing
knees.
It. Yeah.
So she wasn't necessarily conscious of it, but I kind of just wrote in.
But she also, happening. Like, just took it in stride and was like, okay,
this
weird. But I'm doing it, so. But what happened during nights 2 and 4? More sleepwalking,
nothing.
More teethy stuff, more...
Nothing, just teeth growing. No sleepwalking.
And she's like, well...
No sleepwalk every night.
Oh, crap, my tooth is being converted into tree bark.
Yeah, so she basically left it alone after night 1. And that's why on night 3 she's like, well, I made a doctor's appointment, but...
Oof.
This is happening.
Well...
Yeah, I Oh, so the tiny morbid fantasy it played off of. There was actually a couple for me because I used to sleepwalk as a kid. Not often. I only did it like twice. Once I was just, like, innocently picking mushrooms. That's the only one I remember, actually.
That's adorable.
It's weird, because I remember being awake, sort of. But my mom, I was in the living room sleeping on the couch, and I, like, got up and, like, I was like, what are you doing? I was like, I'm picking mushrooms. And I, like, remember holding a basket, but I wasn't holding a basket.
What?
I was, like, sleepwalking.
In your dream? Yeah.
Yeah. So I was picking mushrooms. But, so sleepwalking is one of, like, my fears.
Okay.
Randomly, because I sleep naked, mostly. Also, just, getting weird stuff stuck in my teeth. I don't know. I have a weird thing with just getting stuff stuck in my teeth.
I mean,
I'm like worrying that it's not food.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, even when you were a kid, though, did anybody tell you if you ate the watermelon seeds, you'd grow a watermelon in your belly?
That was the third thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was the tree seed.
Who did this to us? Because you could.
My mom did. Oh.
You could pass a watermelon seed, no problem.
It's like, that isn't. Maybe that's why I don't like watermelon. But
what?
That's weird.
Watermelon's
delicious.
No, I kind
of like it, actually. Mm. I could take it or leave it.
Okay.
But yeah, that was the third part. Just growing watermelon seeds out of your belly. Growing things out of your person.
Yeah. Ooh. But
there is a whole story of, like, why this happened to her and aftermath of what happened to Keith and how he dealt with it and finding out why Julie turned into a tree.
Was there a part two on this one?
Didn't write it yet.
But I would like...
It's all ideas. It's all, like, word maps at this point.
No, I would love for you to explore it. Not like the last one, The Long Drive Home, but as, you know, like, little inserts. All right, well, I've finished this part and I've figured out this. Because I would love to hear, A, the history of it, and B, like, how Keith is able to uncover the history, like, as he goes along. Well, turns out she's not the only oak tree or, you know, whatever tree you deemed her as. But, you know, this is the reason why this is happening. Or if she's the origin, because you didn't give a date, like, this might be the origin story for the rest of it and a catalyst.
Oh, yeah, true. I mean, it's not, but that's a good point.
Well, right. But, I mean, I from what we've talked about for this story, I love the concept of the story.
Thanks. But, there is a plan. There is a backstory. Like, I have answers to questions. I just have to write them into a story.
No, I like it. So what we're going to do next in a future episode is we've devised a bunch of questions that each one of us has come up with for each other or, you know, our audience as well. As a little taste of this going forward, I just wanted to put a question out there to Andrea.
We're going
to
do a Q&A.
This is taste of it before we really implement it. So, I randomly generated question 6. In one sentence, how would you sum up the internet?
A hot fucking mess. Done. That was the easiest question.
Yeah, I mean, that's... Yeah.
It's not wrong.
It's just a lot.
Are you going to answer that question?
I don't know that I am qualified to answer that question because it is a hot fucking mess. And the thing about it is, it's not just entitlement, it's access. It's access and entitlement. Because everyone's entitled to their opinion. But the thing about opinions, they're like assholes. And everybody's got
shitty.
Them. Yeah.
Okay.
Ew.
Sorry.
No, but that's you're not wrong. Like, it's a beautiful thing, but at the same time, you have things like 4chan and internet trolls that just really shit on the beautiful things that could be in existence just because they can.
My favorite thing is when you're on the internet, it's like people nowadays, and it's like, no, this is people all the time. It's just we have access to it now.
Yeah.
They're always there. You can just see it now.
Yeah. I mean, fuck, when, like, you know, there are monarchies and shit like that. There were lynchings that happened. I mean, those actually happened. There were people overthrowing governments. There were people like mobs of garbage people. And you get mob mentality on the internet. And, you know, the thing is, you're hiding under the guise of anonymity.
Not
and,
all flash mobs.
Yeah. But the thing is...
Sorry.
No, you're fine. But even if you're hiding under that guise of anonymity, you're still... creating things that might have, you know, a bad influence on people. And that's not okay. And the fact that you think it's okay just gives you some kind of authority to think that you can do that to other people. And
you're shit, and you'll always be shit. Yeah. So.
You ain't never gonna be nothing. You just like your father.
All right. Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, we're gonna do a Q&A episode next. Probably episode 8. Probably have some drinks for that too, because I think that'll be fun. Keep us loose, answer some questions, have some fun. All right. This is, let's do the outro.
Yeah.
Because tell people how they can get in touch with us.
So if you liked this story, please check us out on Twitter at @TinyMorbid or on Instagram and Reddit at @TinyMorbidFantasies.
To be featured in an upcoming episode or episodes, send your stories to tinymorbidfantasies@gmail.com.
If you have any questions or comments, you can send those too. And now that we're doing the Q&A thread, please send us some questions. We can add to it.
Also, leave a like and subscribe. No, wait, that's YouTube. Go on iTunes. I don't care.
Engage with us on Twitter. We'll do that.
I'm on Instagram. I'm on both, actually. Fuck.
We're on all... I switch back.
We're going to join Facebook, maybe. All right. Bye. Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Love you. Bye.